This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast in association with the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery, the best place to enjoy pre and post-match entertainment in Coventry, as well as taking advantage of their away day travel that operates for every Sky Blues away fixture. I'm David and I'll guide us through this episode, but joined by Matt Trotwin.
How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, very good. Have you had one of the Tav mixed grills, Matt?
I haven't had the opportunity as of yet. I know we did the pre-season pod there a couple of years back, and I sampled some food then, but I'm sure it's only got better in the last kind of year and a half. So yeah, I need to get myself up and sample some of the menu.
Yeah, no, it's I must admit, yeah, we've been after quite a few home games actually, because it's right obviously by the train station. Great scran, great footy scran, as they as they say. How are you feeling around everything Coventry, Matt?
Yeah, good. It's been a pretty positive seven days, hasn't it? You know, we've for me at the moment, kind of going into this period and obviously losing some important players, it felt like as long as we could keep pace with other teams in and around us, whilst we worked towards getting, you know, particularly Ben Sheaf back, it was going to be a positive thing for us, and we're certainly doing that at the minute. It seems a bit of a polar opposite of last year, where, you know, we were putting performances and results together and other teams were falling off and we were able to make ground. This year it feels like we've got to do it to keep pace at the minute, because obviously other teams around us are picking points up as well. But we are only, you know, touch wood obviously, in terms of not losing anybody else with injuries, we're going to get stronger, quite significantly stronger with certain players who are going to come back into this side. So
we're not in these spots by this time last year. Feels no, like we're in a sort of a pack being chased. It feels like that very much. Yeah. So I think the way that we're checking calendars, and we said this on the pod last week, and checking calendars and results of other teams and everything already, it kind of feels like people are coming to get us, rather than I think before last season it was sort of very much more just jumping about a little bit. We were always around that sort of ninth spot, yeah. I think. But it was also very tight up there. Whereas, you know, there's been chances for us to actually go a couple of points ahead, isn't it, of that. And we haven't been able to, because like you say, teams around us are continuing to win. And, you know, I don't think I noticed last season as many teams that were like making mistakes and then pulling them back. Like you're watching the game yesterday, but with one eye on Sky as sports as well. And, you know, teams will go 1-0 down and you're like, right, this is absolutely perfect. Like, stay like this. And then, yeah, lo and behold, they go and get three or four. So it's, it does feel like that.
It's weird how the dynamics changed because, as you say, we kind of timed it perfectly last year, but we needed other teams to fall away. And so many of them did that to quite a shocking level. Whereas, and that felt weirdly more comfortable being in that chasing pack and almost having to expect other teams to fall away, but watching it happen versus now trying to protect a position that we're in at the moment where you're sixth, but you've still got, you know, 13, 14 odd games of the season left to go, or 13 as it is now. And you're trying to protect where you are. For whatever reason, that feels oddly unsettling. And as we say, the form seems to be different with those teams in and around us at the minute. So it's been a massively important week for us. Ridiculously early, I know last week started talking about, do we start looking at how many points we need? And I know it's ridiculously early, but in my mind, one of the things I can't avoid thinking is that we were going to need, coming into this week, to probably win one of these two games. Because I think between now and the end of the season, if we're going to end up in the playoffs, we're going to need to have won, you know, 2-3 away games at the very least. And whilst they weren't easy, totally easy away games, they were two winnable away games. And I just felt like we were probably going to need to come away with a win in one of those games if we were to, you know, keep the momentum going and probably be where we would want to be at the end of the season. So it's been a fantastic week for us.
How do you feel looking ahead to the end of the season? Do you think we'll stay? Do you think we'll stay the distance, or at this moment in time? I think it's always nice because, you know, we look at the start of the season and I think a few people said 8th, you know, 9th, 10th. Some people said playoffs. I can't remember everybody's responses. And then a few weeks down the line, we were saying, right, well, if we can just sort of, you know, lower half table, if we can just get this season out of the way, it's a building season. We're all, and then obviously Mark Robbins he's not having any of none of that. He's completely worked his miracles again and his magic. And suddenly we're, you know, we're potentially 5th really in terms of if in a couple of weeks, if results go our way, you know, we could be solidifying in there. Do you think we'll, in this moment in time, because it'd be interesting to look back, do you think we'll get into the playoffs?
I go back and forth on it. It's so difficult. I generally tend to be a little bit more pessimistic, unfortunately. But if you're asking me right now, as of, you know, obviously coming off a really good week and where we sit at this moment in time, I tend to think yes, but I think it's going to be razor close at the end of the season between, you know, us and other teams, and it's going to be one of those where it might be changing on the last day of the season, and it might be quite an uncomfortable ride between now and then. But I don't look at the other teams in and around us and think I am jealous of the players that they have at their disposal. I know there's a lot of talk around Hull, but I think that's a lot of players to bed in. A lot of players who have an expectation to play, having come on loan or for, you know, decent fees on decent wages. And there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of movement or a lot of managing that they're going to have to do there. Rosinha is going to have to do there. So I don't look at anybody else and think I'm jealous of what you have at your disposal. The thing that does worry me, and obviously Robbins has kind of alluded to this, is what will happen if we were to pick up any further injuries. And I think that is a threat to us because we were quite fortunate in the second half of last season. And we're going to need to be relatively fortunate between now and the end of the season. We've obviously had a couple in recent weeks. We've had Torp yesterday, and hopefully that's nothing too serious. We need to just have a bit of fortune from that perspective, because if we were to get a couple of significant injuries there, then it would probably, my mindset on it would probably change a little bit, unfortunately. But you know, you're asking me now on the Sunday afternoon, I'm confident. If you ask me tomorrow at the same time, I might lean slightly the other way, but I would imagine we'll be in and around, and I think we'll be in the conversation come the last day of the season, right? You'd hope that would be the case, as long as we can keep the squad together largely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it now, the form table, just it. We're talking about it, and we know because that's what's been happening, but you look at the form table and we're very similar, but there isn't anyone that's really, you know, I know West Brom are probably out of the last 5, they've had 2 losses and a draw. We've had just one. Norwich have only had 1 loss. Hull, just the one loss. Preston haven't lost in five, two draws and three. Of course, you know, we'll speak about them later on this week when we get together to talk about that game. But it does feel, you know, then you look past that 10th spot, Sunderland, Watford, you know, sort of Bristol Cities, they look like they could, I mean, they're not out of it, but they certainly look like teams that are just hitting the wrong sort of form at the wrong time. But we're keeping pace with everyone, but they're not as up and down the results. It does feel that these teams around us are getting draws and are getting points, and you know, nobody's really dropping away. Of course, this week, Matt, we'll talk about the win at Stoke. We'll also, for no one else's benefit other than Dino, just to keep him happy, we'll do the Coventry, Cov-out-try. And we also ran a poll on Twitter around Mark Robbins and his number one spot. But first of all, kicking off with Stoke, Matt, six changes, probably Tavares and Wilson, arguably the most surprising.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there was an audible gasp, I will say, more than I've probably ever heard go into a game in my life, when literally at 2 o'clock, you heard an audible gasp in the pub. People kind of took a sharp intake of breath, and then you just heard Tavares popping off in different areas of the pub. It was quite a shocker. And it wasn't just him. There were so many shocks in there and surprises that, I mean, you know, that the team obviously came out at 2 o'clock and we saw Tavares, and then you're thinking, okay, well, we've got no Kitchen in there as well, and Milan's out. Maybe a few people thought that might be the case. But then you see Sakamoto. It wasn't until we were half an hour further down the line and just getting into the stadium that my friend actually pointed out that that Wilson was starting as well. And we didn't, you know, we didn't have the time to, I guess, take that in with all the other shocks and surprises in the team. You know, Robbins has obviously been alluding to it over the last couple of weeks, being quite blunt in his feelings or in his words around the fixture congestion and how harsh it is on the players. And I think there must be, you'd say, with the number of changes in this game, there's a mixture of him trying to rotate plus, you know, obviously we've heard rumours of illnesses and things like that. And there must be an element of that in there, because you wouldn't have thought, I don't know what you think, but
his comments after the game were pretty much that. You know, he said, you look and try and pick a side, knowing what's next is really tough and you can't get through, but you have to try and win a game, make changes. Everyone has to be involved, and there's only one way that we can do that, to keep everyone fit. And I think that's a really good point, isn't it? Like you say, is you've got to keep that rotation, because we know that fitness and match fitness are two different things, and everyone talks about match fitness, but then, you know, like you say, have a sharp intake of breath in the pub when they hear the likes of, you know, Sakamoto not involved or Collins dropped for Wilson. I find that one a little bit odd. I'm sure we'll come onto that a little bit later, but it is, isn't it? To keep everyone on the boil, to keep everyone up to speed, especially like Louis Binks. You know, Kitchen got sent off recently. That could happen again. Thomas could get sent off. You need players to be able to step into those, you know, those positions, you know, seamlessly, right? And to do that, they've got to be getting enough time. And yes, we are in a fortunate position where we've got FA Cup games and a really, really busy stacked calendar. But it also means that you're trying to pick and choose when he does that. And maybe he felt that Stoke was one of the more winnable games. Preston feels like a six-pointer already at home. You'd have to say that that's a must-win, really. I hate talking about must-wins at this start, this, you know, this sort of early, still early part of the season, really, in all reality. But it does feel like you're going to have to get something positive against Preston, and then obviously Maidstone, you should be able to bypass them with some decent changes again.
Yeah, absolutely. Preston, it does. I said this last season in the running, you know, I hate the phrase must win in general, but when you start breaking it down, unless it is literally a last day of the season and you have to win to achieve something, it's a phrase that I'm not a big fan of. But when you start actually breaking it down, even though literally it might not be the case, you know, if you start to look at the points we're probably going to need to get in the playoffs, and if that is obviously ultimately a goal, which it should still be, then you're thinking, yeah, we're going to struggle to do that if we don't win the game against Preston, if I'm being completely honest, because you look at what we're probably going to need to do. You know, it was 70 points last season.
And that was low.
That was low, yeah.
If you look at some of the teams that are going this season, you know, because you've got Ipswich that are going to drop into the playoffs. I know they're not going to be fifth and sixth, but, you know, they look like automatic positions. You know, they look like they were going to go up automatically. So yeah. I think it's going to be a fairly high, I don't know, it's still probably that 70 or so, but it's probably leaning towards maybe 73, 75, maybe something.
I think,
like,
yeah, 70 will be potentially where you start from. You might have half a chance, but in my mind, I'm looking at probably 72, 73 is where you start thinking, yeah, that's where you need to be to have a realistic chance. And it might even be higher than that. So, you know, where we are at the minute, that's what, seven wins out of 13 games, or maybe fewer games with a fewer wins with a few draws mixed in there as well. And you start to look through it and think again, must win isn't a phrase that I love. And obviously it isn't must win at this stage of the season, because you don't know what could happen afterwards. But you do feel like if we weren't to win against Preston, it becomes a bit of a struggle, to be honest with you. So as crazy as that is to say, because, you know, we're still going to be there or thereabouts, but if you start actually breaking it down, what we need to do, it's going to make things really difficult. So yeah, massively important game, but massively important, like I say, from that perspective, to have picked up a win in the two away games that we've played over the last few days as well. It's a massive result. I think for me, if we do end up in the playoffs, we're going to look back, or certainly I think I will look back on this week as a massively pivotal one for us. You know, we've obviously had to rotate the team quite a lot, make a few changes, still missing Sheaf, still lacking numbers, maybe in centre midfield with Allen as well. I think this week, to have come out of it with 7 points, if we were to end in the playoffs, I think this week will be pivotal. I think I would look back at this week as being massive for us, to be honest.
Just while you're talking there, I was doing a bit of a Carol Vorderman moment and doing some maths. I think 13 games left. 13 games left. And if you're saying that we need, well, 75, I think, or 25 points, you're looking, that's if you need 25 points from where we are, which we probably don't, let's be honest. What are we on now? 51 points, aren't we?
Yeah.
So if you think it's 73, it's 1.7 points per game.
Yeah, exactly. This is why this week for me was so massively
that's
important,
a lot, isn't it?
We're going to have to win some away games, right? I think that's the point.
Because we're going to take some losses. I mean, look, we're going to Southampton away. They are by no means not beatable, but they are starting to hit some form. You know, we've got some other tricky fixtures. West Brom, you know, under the lights away from home, that's always going to be a difficult. So when you start to think 1.7 points per game, that's it's a lot, isn't it?
That's why, I mean, I kind of working out I went a little bit backwards with it. I started working out the points first and was thinking, okay, 73 is a point where I start thinking we might have a chance. 73 to 75, I'm thinking.
75 is 1.9. You know, that starts to be.
You're really going full on Carol here, aren't you? But 73.
I've been called worse.
So I think 73 is, you know, that's a point where I start to feel like, okay, we might have a realistically good chance at it. But still, that's 7 wins from where we are right now, or let's say 6 and a few draws. But then you start to, I think I went that way around first and then worked out, oh crap, it's only 13, 14 games left to go. So that seems like quite a high number of wins in not a huge amount of games. Just when you started thinking, okay, so 21 points or 24 points before Stoke, and that's 8 wins or 7 or 6 with a few draws, it's not too bad. But then you kind of like, it dawned on me, there isn't really that long left to go in the season in terms of number of games. So you can't really, you know, you can't be saying, okay, we'll pick up a point and that's not bad on the road. That kind of conversation, to some extent, if we'd have done that in both games this week, yeah, great. You could say Plymouth away, picking up a point, they're not bad at home, fine. In context of it, outside of what we're trying to achieve. Maybe similar with Stoke. Not, obviously, they're not on great form. But to me, going into this week and already starting to look at what we needed, I was thinking, take that off the table. We needed to win one of those games, to be honest with you.
I think you have to ask yourself is, Would West Brom go away to those two teams and only pick up 2 points? Would Southampton, who, all right, they'll probably be in the automatics, but if they're not, you've got Leeds. Well, you know, you've got Southampton or Leeds. It's flip-flopping.
One of them, yeah.
Would Leeds go? Would Southampton go? Would Ipswich go, you know, to those two places and draw? Yeah. I don't think they would. And that's what you've got to be comparing yourself against, because it is a very competitive six spots, actually. I think under that, under us, Hull, Sunderland looking out of it, Preston, I don't actually think they're not like coveted teams, in my opinion. Yeah. But I think when you look above that, bar Ipswich, I've got to be honest, but they're a bit of a rogue. You know, we know how much you know, momentum can help a team from the playoffs. But yeah, I think you're right. You know, when you start to boil it down, it's a lot of points and there's a lot of football still to be played, but not as much as you think to start saying, actually, let's grab a point here and there. No, I think all of the home games are pretty much, you need to be winning them. And then your away games, you need to be picking up points on the road. And
certainly the home games we would like to think we would be the better team in, you know, majority of the time we're going to have to then go and win those games. And I think, some of the away games we might have to say, like I say, with this week, two on paper potentially winnable games, my thought process was, you know, if we have to take a few risks to potentially even try and turn draws into wins, but you might take a little bit more of a risk of potentially losing, then at a certain point we might have to look at doing that. So, and obviously it was great to get the last minute equaliser at Plymouth and turn 0 points into one, right? You know, that's better than going there and losing, obviously, in the context of how that game ended up going. But it did make yesterday a really important game in my mind. And we got the job done in not a fantastic performance, but who cares? We got the job done.
Yeah, well, let's go on to that. We'll you know, we won't linger too long on it, but the first half was, for me, a little bit sloppy, looked a bit leggy, a bit similar to Plymouth, really. We just couldn't seem to, you know, put those plays together that we've, you know, come to expect, really, I guess. That intricate passing, that, you know, pass and move, triangles, that sort of stuff. We seemed to not be able to do that as much. And also, I think, just looked a little bit fatigued. What did you think around that first half?
Yeah, I would agree. We looked like a side who'd missed, or who'd made six changes and maybe looked a little uncoordinated. Didn't look to be that level of cohesion that maybe we've had to an extent in the positive run of results that we've had over the last few months. So, you know, you've probably got to expect that if you're making that number of changes, you're going to lose a little bit of that cohesion, a little bit of that, you know, understanding between players and those connections. So, yeah, completely agree. And there certainly looked to be a little bit of fatigue within the players. You know, it does seem like a team that maybe is going through it a little bit at the minute with regards to some kind of little bug or whatever might be going around. So it just wasn't a great half of football from either side, to be honest with you. It really didn't feel as though a goal particularly was coming. I know we had that opportunity relatively early on, but outside of that, it just didn't really feel like there was much coming in. And then obviously into the, we'll talk more about the second half, but it felt like it was going to be a struggle going into the second half as well. So, but yeah, first half, it, from either side, it just wasn't a great spectacle of football, really, was it?
Yeah. And like you mentioned, that O'Hare just, it seemed like he had a wonderful chance. And then it can just be such a different afternoon, can't it? Not much that Tav could do, I don't think. He didn't get the ball out to him that much. He didn't seem as confident to take on his man, but then there wasn't actually that much space in behind him. Some of the balls that, you know, Sims laid off to him were just, he had no chance, to be honest, on getting in anywhere near them. But he did get a cross in. Wright made himself a bit of a nuisance. Sims also, you know, reacted first, and that was good in the box. It fell to O'Hare and it was just deflected, I think, off onto either the post or just deflected off, but he seemingly had the goal just at his beckoning. Probably based on past seasons, you would have just, that you'd probably be like, yeah, okay, I kind of, but on this season, you would have expected the net to bulge.
Yeah, absolutely. As we've said with O'Hare, he's kind of, the progression he's been able to make in the period of time where he's been out of the side with that serious injury is quite impressive. He seems to have come back. You know, I think everybody's talked about physicality wise, he's a different shape of a man almost in a lot of regards, and that's helped his game, but also his finishing just seems to have significantly improved over that period of time. And I think we probably saw some signs of it just before the injury, but significantly improved since he's come back, obviously, in the last couple of months. So it was frustrating. I thought, I'll give credit to their keeper, to be honest with you. It was a relatively smart save for the first situation, because I think
stood up right tall as well.
Yeah, Wright makes a nuisance, but I think it comes off the defender, doesn't it? And it kind of bounces and he has to react quickly to the ball going, I guess, in the direction he doesn't expect. So solid from that. And then it seems like they all did well, obviously, to react first and turned and shot. And the keeper, you know, it's just good keeping in terms of positioning. He was right there to kind of smother that opportunity. But then when it falls to O'Hare in that situation, the goalkeeper's kind of out of the equation. So it was frustrating because all he's got to do is kind of avoid not even hitting the defender, because you can hit the defender, just not hit him square on. So the ball isn't going to like flick off him and go in the goal. Exactly. You know, you can flick off the knee or flick off the side of his hip or wherever. Just don't hit him square in the chest, which is essentially what he did. And it cannons back off the post. So look, we're probably still going to have those moments with him. But it was frustrating because it did feel... Even at that stage, it felt like it was going to be one of those difficult afternoons for either side to find the net. So you think
you knew they were
going
to be putting a lot on the line, and hard to sometimes break down. They're going to be naturally quite deep because of where they are. You know, league position wise, they're going to be defending their lives, and they did make a good stop. There wasn't really much else, as you said, to really talk about in that first half. There was nothing really from Stoke apart from obviously when the teams came out for the second half. Torp was one that was missing. An injury, it's got to be. Seems like a calf, I think, is what people were saying. But hopefully nothing serious. Robin said that he came off injured, but he didn't allude to anything further in his post-match interview.
Yeah, it's a frustrating one. Obviously, that from a couple of regards, you know, he's been so impressive for us in coming into the side and been instrumental in some really great moments for us. Aside from that, that is the area of the pitch where we are struggling with other players as well. So it's kind of, if you were realistically picking one player at the minute that you could probably least afford to lose, it might be that area of the pitch. So if you flick the, try and put something of a positive spin on it, I guess, you know, if he's missing for Preston, hopefully it will be Preston. And then obviously you've got Maidstone, who, as you alluded to at the start of the pod, hopefully we could expect to, you know, be able to get through that without Torp playing. And then he might have the best part of 2 weeks to kind of try and get himself back into fitness. So if it's not that serious of an injury, it might just be that Preston game where he's missing. And then you have to lean on other players to come in and do a job. And, you know, as we said at the start of the pod, we're going to need players to come in and have to do that. So it's certainly not ideal. We just hope at the very worst, it's, you know, something he could recover in within, let's say, a couple of weeks or so to make himself back available.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we were much more proactive in the second half. I thought Robbins has obviously had a conversation at halftime, getting people to start getting back to that football. And I thought that we looked better.
Yeah, slightly though. It was one of those games all round for me. You just take the win and move on, because I just think it's such an important win for us.
Yeah.
I thought we were slightly better in the second half, but I still wouldn't have said it was a great performance, to be honest. You know, that we maybe put a little bit more pressure onto them. I think what I will say is as well, you know, the game kind of changes when you go a goal ahead in a match like that. You know, we're largely thinking, okay, defend the lead and then try and catch them on the break. So the way that we play changes. So you saw signs of it early on, and obviously it led to the goal, which was still relatively early in the second half. And then the way we play changes. So if we, in a weird way, if we maybe hadn't have scored at that point, you might have seen us come into our own a bit more. My kind of thinking in the first half, it felt like they'd had to do a lot of the running. I think we had over 60% of the possession in the first half. So one thing I was hoping maybe was an advantage potentially to come in the second half was them tiring, because they would, you know, they'd had to do a lot more of the chasing of the ball. We'd had the possession and we'd moved them around a lot. Stoke's a relatively, you know, a big pitch as well, it feels. So they'd, you know, it felt like their players had put a shift in, and I was hoping that they might have tired a bit in the second half. And yeah, obviously that might have been a factor in the goal, because, you know, we saw them quite sloppy in a couple of incidents there. And from that goal onwards, it kind of changes the dynamic of the game. I think we probably would have gone on to have decent opportunities either way, because of the fact that, yeah, I felt they looked a little bit leggy coming out in the second half because of the amount of running they'd had to do in the first 45. And then it completely changes the dynamic of the game. You know, we're thinking, yeah, we can catch them on the break. We've got a lead to defend, and, you know, you're away from home, you're always going to, I guess, change the way that you play a little bit as well.
We did finally get a goal, like you said. Some really good work by Hadji. He got a foot in, O'Hare's quick thinking, and, you know, Sims, a really, really good finish. You know, he scored against Plymouth. He's now got another one. Leading that line. Good finish, Matt. And how many do you think Sims can get before the end of the season, if he still gets the opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, you start to get a feeling now. You might kind of naturally feel as though he's almost making that centre forward role his. You know, he's certainly putting a stake in a claim to say he would be the option that you would go with in that area. And start of the season, we were kind of jumbling that area of the pitch around, even in formation, let alone personnel. But you know, the two elements were changing quite a lot, and now we seem set on the fact of we'd like to play with a front three. We saw the benefits of, ironically, obviously, it started with that home game against Stoke in November, and the formation seems to work for us now. So we seem set on the formation, but outside of the two wide attackers, you know, we seem to have a bit of debate on who might play in that more central role. I think that feels almost as if it might be getting put to bed. So that would be ideal, and hopefully that will mean he'll get a run of games and have the opportunity to build his confidence. He talked about his confidence in the interview after the game as well. Yeah. And he's starting to feel that confidence grow. So look, if he ends up getting double figures, which now you think, if he were to get a run of games, that's what, four more goals in potentially 13, but you've got a couple of cup games in there as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if we do beat Maidstone, you're thinking that's 15 games. So it's, you know, one every two, three games, if he does play regularly, is certainly not out of reach at all. So double figures, you're going to say, first season, you know what, take it. And it's a solid return in a team that seems to spread goals out around the pitch. And I you look at it, if you were to think during this period of time, there was one player you'd want to kind of show that form, to build the confidence, to build that rapport with the fans as well, and everything else, and it would be Sims. It feels like that's something that's happened this season. You know, we've had,
yeah,
nobody's kind of gone the whole season where they've been out and out, you know, the standout player for us form-wise, but we've had, Sakamoto's had a period and it's embedded him within the club, and Milan's had a period, and obviously with his celebrations and everything, he's managed to embed himself within the club. And then Hadji was struggling, but he's obviously had a run of form which is embedded him. It's almost a bit spinning plate wise as well. You're kind of thinking one, yeah, goes off the ball and then one comes on, yeah, a bit, but at least everybody's having a period
that,
now.
Maybe that's because of that, you know, mixing it up, you know, Robbins, by bringing players in and out and you know, changing of players quite frequently. Maybe that's what has, you know, lent it to that, really, that, yeah, you know, people are sort of getting these redemption chances over and over again, if that makes sense. And clearly we've also got a bigger squad, whereas last, yeah, season it was pretty much doom and gloom if certain players were not in, right? So it, yeah, does feel, but I agree, you know, it'd be great to see that he could get towards double figures. And I thought it was a really, really smart finish, actually. Very instinctive, and that's probably what he needs. I thought he was unlucky not to score first time at Plymouth, and then obviously followed it up well and sort of bundled it in. But he's in getting in the right areas. You know, the run that he made at Plymouth was really smart, and the way that he finished this one, I think, was also so smart. I think he gives us some physicality up top that we don't have if perhaps Godden or even Palmer playing in that false sort of 9-10 role is there. So I do think that he gives us that physicality as well. He's a little bit quicker than perhaps Godden, and it does, to me and you, feel like he is probably solidifying himself as that main target man. And, you know, Haji Wright and O'Hare and Sakamoto playing around him with obviously Palmer getting appearances as well. So, yeah, I think getting that confidence up, leading the line, getting a run of games is going to be super, super important for him. And like you say, hopefully he can get into double figures.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Stoke did keep pressing. I think it felt like it was ourselves that were going to be the makers of our own downfall. For some reason, we just didn't seem to want to clear our lines. We quite enjoyed being camped in and not hitting them. But it did feel like that a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it was very frustrating. I felt quite sorry for the back line, actually, because it felt like, you know, they were getting into decent areas. Stoke seemed to kind of move out wide, and I was quite concerned when they move out wide. It felt like they had a lot of space and could hurt us, especially when, you know, we started the game without our starting wide defenders as well. You thought, okay, this could be a bit dicey, but then he consistently seemed to try and move it in and flick balls like inside through the middle, and we kind of were relatively comfortable even when they did try and, you know, play a ball in from out wide. I think we repelled it quite well. But what was frustrating after we went one up, yeah, we would repel the ball to somewhere around halfway, and we really struggled in those areas then to kind of hold the ball, right? So the ball would get to, let's say, I think Haji struggled more than anybody else. Unfortunately, the ball would kind of get up to him, and just take your time, take a touch, use your strength. He's an imposing figure. He's a big lad. He can use his physicality to hold onto the ball and play it into the right areas and try and use the clock and everything. And we just really struggled to, we'd either try and hold it in the wrong time, or we'd try a little flick to get somebody away and it wouldn't go too well, or just a loose pass. And it was really quite frustrating because, I mean, I don't like saying this about opposition. I like to focus on Coventry, and I know sometimes we're inclined to say this as any fan base would, but they were really poor. And I just felt there was such an opportunity for us when we went 1-0 up to just kill that game. But we, more than anything, we were giving them the opportunity to get the ball back and keep the ball, you know, in our half, keep us penned back and put the pressure on. And that was quite frustrating to see. But ultimately, it's still also, if you're watching that as a neutral versus being a kind of a nervous Coventry fan, it didn't really feel like actually they were going to score, to be honest with you. There weren't really many clear opportunities. The one that they had a spell of corners, and I think there were a few opportunities for Rose in particular to win a header, but
he's never getting over the top of them.
No, there wasn't really anything there that properly threatened the goal. It was just a bit frustrating to see him, you know, or any Stoke player obviously winning those headers. But other than that, again, as I say, if you're not a nervous Coventry fan, you're watching that game as a neutral, you could think, if you play that game for another 30, 45 minutes, hour, however long you want to play it for, it just didn't really feel like they were going to score. And it's quite shocking, to be honest, how poor they were. If I'm being completely honest, it was one of
I think you could see why they're down there. Because I think there's been games, and you know, we've talked about this on the pod a lot, that Haji Wright is just a little bit of a different type of player. Sometimes when he gets the ball and he shouldn't have, it seems like he's got a complete age to do what he wants. And I think that's his demeanour sometimes. But he did have a really, really good chance yesterday to make it and settle it. And I just felt like, I don't know, it was very casual and very lethargic. Mm. And I think it's on, I think it's absolutely, you know, expected, but I think a lot of fans watching that would have been frustrated, you know, that it's a proper backs against the wall job. And then to get into that position, I just felt like at times it doesn't lend itself to him becoming like a fan's favorite. Does that make sense? I don't want to, you know, I just felt like it was a very lethargic effort, that very casual. It was on his left foot, I think.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But really, you know, you'd expect them to be going in, no?
Oh, 100%, yeah. That and I was relatively high up in the stand. That almost cracked me straight in the face, I'll be honest with you. And it was, I was way too high up for that to be threatening hitting me in the face. It was, you could feel the frustration behind the goal when, you know, it felt like a real opportunity to kill the game. You know, even the build up to it, it felt quite casual. In he wasn't really fully protecting the ball from the guy backtracking. He just got maybe a little bit fortunate that he didn't, the tracking player didn't quite make the right contact with the ball. And he got away, and then, you know, players are going to have certain elements to their game. They're going to have certain elements to their personality. We talked about it with Sims. If he's not on form, there's a concern with him because he's probably not the most outgoing. And you kind of worry a little bit if he's out of form that he could, I don't know, potentially not. He's not a Milan, let's put it that way. He's not going to kind of get the fans on side in the difficult moment. So it's really good that he's finding form now, because obviously it's a bit of a concern if he isn't informed that people might kind of go against him. And yeah, there is definitely an element of Hadji where you do feel he's quite relaxed and lackadaisical, and if he's on form and he's kind of using that the right way, then happy days, that's great. But if you have moments like that where it's obviously not going the way that you want it to, and if it costs us, then, you know, fans are going to get frustrated. You could feel the frustration at that moment, because if you miss but you look like you're trying, then you can kind of maybe let it go to an extent. But if you miss and it just feels like, you know, you're quite casual about it, then it just doesn't bode well with the players. So I think he's kind of, he showed his frustration maybe at the end of the game, because he was quite quick to get down the tunnel. So he is somebody I'm sure is quite keen to, you know, address the issues that he maybe has in his game. Yeah. I think it was probably not the worst thing. He, you know, I think saw some talk about the fact that he went straight off, didn't clap the fans. That was clearly not the case. And I think they were quite keen to show that in the media after the game with the club and City, and seeing a kind of pay attention to him going down the tunnel and clapping the fans. So you can quite clearly see he doesn't disrespect the fans. But I don't mind the fact that he was quite quick to get down there and be quite frustrated in his own performance, because, you know, he knows there's pressure on him. There's expectation, because there's quite a big price tag on his shoulders as well. But he has also quite significantly impacted the game with his work for the goal, you know, and that's that's massively important to us. So hopefully whilst it's not the worst thing that he is frustrated in, and there's areas of the game that he needs to improve on, you know, he's also got to take from the game the fact that he's really been quite pivotal in the moment that's ultimately won us the game. So
no, agreed. Let's wrap this up then, Matt. We did get it over the line. A good away win. Always a tough place to go, Stoke. Who is your man of the match?
I'd like to give it to Bobby Thomas, to be honest with you, just for the fact of he had a tricky game at Plymouth. I think we all can see that. And he also, let's not forget, you know, we talk about the changes. A majority of them were that back line. He was pretty much the one. If you think about our usual starting back five, if you include the keeper, he was the only one. You know, you'd usually have Kitchen and Collins. We talked about the improvements we've made since going to back to centre back partnership with Kitchen and Thomas, and Collins obviously coming into the team. Obviously he had a new partner at centre half, but you also have the two, the left back and right back are different to the usual starting back line. So he was the kind of constant in there, and I think he led the back line well. You know, majority of the time, if they were getting it, other than that little spell of corners, he was kind of repelling the ball if it was coming into the box. But I just think his positioning was good. They were trying to play little balls in through the middle, and I think between him and Binks, they actually did quite a good job of repelling those situations, not giving them too much space. He obviously had that big moment with the 50-50 ball, which he's put into the stands and taken the defender out, which is always nice to see with a centre-half as well. So I think in a difficult situation,
you sometimes need those to gather the team up, you know, the momentum to go, actually, no, we are going to stick in here and we're not going to get beat. And that sort of sets the tone sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes you need that to just get going, you know, famously said, you know, Roy Keane, you know, if you know, if he just smashed into someone, then it might get the rest of the team to react. And it sometimes does take that to realise that there's someone, you know, you're always looking around at who's going to lift the squad, and sometimes something like that does whether you agree or not with it, it can have the right impact.
Yeah, absolutely. You need leaders in the back line. You know, at that point, it was a bit of a rear guard action. You know, we were trying to make sure we didn't obviously let a one goal lead slip. So it was a moment that I think, you know, galvanised the team to an extent in an important period of the game. And yeah, I just thought it was a solid performance from him in a game where I don't think anybody could really say they performed so significantly above and beyond anyone else to say, you know, it's harsh for them not to get it. De Silva had a decent game coming into the side, and Sims obviously with his goal and some of his movement. But I'd like to give it to Thomas because it was a good comeback from a difficult game against Plymouth on Wednesday night.
Yeah, good performance by Thomas. I thought Eccles was decent again. I think he's really grown into a really decent central midfielder, and has had to actually, because if you think
it's going to be important,
his colleagues have been in, you know, Torp injured yesterday, Sheaf injured, Allen's been out with injuries. He's the only one, you know, constant sort of central midfielder that's managed to keep fit, which, you know, is great because he's had his issues in the past. We know he's had injuries. So I think he's been great and really grown into an incredible, you know, asset for us. But I think Sims, you know, great finish, very calm, and was a bit of a thorn in the side of Stoke when he could be, when we were able to play. We didn't play that football that much. So I'm going to give it to Ellis Sims. Right, let's keep Dino happy. let's hope that you've got the grasp of this a little bit better than your podcast colleague, Ross Spence, for Coventry and Coventry. So I'm going to take your in and out, Matt, from you.
Yeah.
Let's start with your in.
The goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got to go with Collins. I think he's just come in and made that position his own in terms of his all-round performances in the side. So Collins for me is the Coventry. I don't want to say Wilson is a Coventry because it's harsh after another clean sheet for the guy. And, you know, it's important that he's obviously getting that confidence. But yeah, I'll go with Collins as the in for me.
Yeah, this week, Coventry, I think it would be Sims, his performances, his form. That would be the plus or the in for me. Mm. It's been nice to see that he's been getting that, you know, the chances as well as taking them. I think Coventry would just be rare replacements. They're probably not that, but it's stopping me from getting to Coventry games. So yeah, rare replacements can get in the bin. You alluded there, and you've included it in your in, Matt. But the poll that we also ran on Twitter was asking our fans basically if Mark Robins, number one keeper, and who should stay in the sticks for the remainder of the season. You said Collins. 73% of other people said Collins, 15% Wilson, and 12% Moore. Interesting that, you know, Wilson and Moore are pretty you know, similar there. It was only a small ran poll this afternoon. But yes, that is the results of that. So everyone resounding Collins to stay in for the remainder of the season. I think he, like you said, he has made it his own. And yeah, let's see if Mark Robins continues to do that. That's all we've got time for this episode, Matt. Obviously, as always, we thank the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery for the sponsorship of the podcast. And if anyone at home wants to get involved with anything we spoke about this evening, then you can just using the hashtag Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.